Sorry to have to say our friend Mr. Field has had to return home through illness. May the Lord grant his healing mercies and raise him up once more and grant him that true blessing. May he help us now to commence with hymn 144. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see and I'll pursue, the narrow way till him I view. 144.
Thank you.
We'll read two chapters this evening. The second epistle of Corinthians, chapter 12, followed by Philippians, chapter 3. The epistle to Corinthians, the second book, chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches? Except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Give us a true sense of humility before thee, the holy God. O Lord, do open to our understanding, the understanding of the soul, the pure holiness of thyself, and how that we are vile sinners in thy sight, and can no means approach unto this holy God, except it be through the mediator. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt make thyself known to us as our mediator between God and man. Oh, may we be found as that one of whom we've been reading, a man in Christ. Oh, to be found covered with his righteousness, washed in his precious blood, that we may plead before the throne his life and death in our behalf, who calls our sins his own. So we come now pleading for that life from above and the witness of the Holy Ghost that we are in Christ Jesus, that thou hast chosen us in eternity past, and though we have vilely sinned against thee from the day of our birth until now, yet we are accepted in the Beloved. Oh, do reveal thyself to us, Lord Jesus, in all thy wondrous salvation for the very worst of sinners, and cause us to admire and wonder and bless and praise thy holy name, that thou hast done this for us. And wilt thou do it for each soul gathered here? Wilt thou make known that thou didst come to earth to suffer, bleed and die, to rescue the very worst of sinners from endless ruin, deep despair, in eternal hell. O Lord, we beseech thee, remember our souls. Remember the cries of everyone that has come up to thy house this night, praying that thou wilt reveal thyself as the sinner's friend, that thou wilt speak peace and pardon, that thou didst suffer, bleed and die in our place. Oh, do remember each soul that has come up pleading, show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Oh, may we not go away as we have come in, without that hope raised up in a precious Jesus, that he is our Saviour, that he has redeemed us from the hand of all evil, that he has brought us to God. Oh, we do ask thee, Lord, make one with us this night. May the word of the Lord be precious in our sight. May it warm our cold heart. May it lead us to behold the Lamb of God in all his sufferings in the sinner's place. And Lord, to have the witness of the Holy Ghost, all this was done for you. We do ask that thy mighty work of salvation may be much known in our midst, that thou hast redeemed sinners, paid the price that they might not endure eternal hell. We pray that this night the word of the Lord may enter into many souls with that divine power and unction from above, that there may be a turning again, a true repentance given, a looking to thee, Jesus, save me, or I die. And we pray that thou wilt remember every case before thee, Lord, especially, Lord, those who feel that weight and burden of their sins, solemnly realizing that they must sink down to that endless ruin unless thou intervene. And we would come with longing eyes up unto thee, that thou wilt cause thy blessing to be known, that thou wilt work mightily in our midst, that the work of the Lord may be much esteemed among us, that thou hast done it, and all the praise and all the glory, Lord, shall be thine to an endless eternity. Oh, may not one soul be left out untouched by the gospel of thy grace. May each be given an open ear to hear the gospel trumpet, an understanding heart to know when thy spirit does speak within. O Lord, we beseech thee, leave us not, nor forsake us. We would find a resting place for our souls, that stronghold sure, that refuge in the time of distress, a place whereon we may fix our hold, a firm foundation, the rock Christ Jesus. Oh, do we pray, come then, manifest thyself unto us, as thou dost not unto the world, that we are thy peculiar people, chosen in eternity, quickened in time, loved from all eternity, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or spot. We do pray that that which will be spoken this evening may find its mark, may do good in many hearts, that that which has been preached in past time may prove to be so suited to this present time. We do desire to pray that thou wilt remember us as a church and people. Lord, do not take thy spirit from us. Do not take the candlestick of truth from among us. Keep us close to thy holy word. Give us truly tender and contrite spirits and the fear of the Lord in exercise. Oh, we ask now, do bless thy servants as they come amongst us. Do grant them liberty to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, that it may be to the good of never-dying souls and to thy eternal praise. We do pray now for the one who ministered to us this morning, Mr. Robert Field, in all his deep affliction, that thou wilt heal him, Lord, and raise him up, strengthen him once more to preach the everlasting gospel. May that gospel have its desired effects in the hearts of the hearers, that they might turn again to the living God, seek thy face, and find mercy. Lord, we all need mercy. We have nothing of our own to plead before thee. It must all be of sovereign grace that thou dost remember us in our lost estate, not turn us away when we cry unto thee. We have to confess with the hymn we have sung, nothing but sin I thee can give. Oh, but it will be mercy if we can also say, nothing but love shall I receive. We do now commend each case to thee that is before thee. For Lord, each one has a case in providence, their trials by the way, all those fears lest they should be brought to nothing, those in affliction of body, those who mourn, those, Lord, who wonder where the scene will end. O Lord, in mercy arise for each one and make known that thou art God alone, that it is the Lord, that thou wilt do what seemeth thee good, but it will be for the eternal profit of each soul. Once more we pray for our nation, that it might please thee, Lord, to arise and make the crooked things straight, that we may see that thou art in control, and thou wilt bring forth those things which shall be for thy eternal praise, though to us it seems all confusion. O Lord, enable us to cast our care upon thee, to leave with thee the outcome, but oh, do not leave us, nor forsake us. We pray now, remember our brother and help him in reading this evening. Oh, do grant that that word may be sweet, that we may have an understanding of the things which are spoken and rejoice in thy great salvation. Oh, make it, Lord, a time to be remembered, a time when the name of the Lord is adored and honoured and glorified in this place, that thou hast done it. Our eyes are upon thee. Pardon us, Lord. Receive us graciously. Once more we ask to be accepted in the righteousness and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen.
Hymn 771. To know my Jesus crucified, I far excel all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. 771.
Thank you.
try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Raven. And you will find the text in the second chapter we read, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Here is a test of our own state. Can we say that there are in our hearts desire and feelings that harmonize with the desires and feelings of the apostle as expressed in this chapter? Can we go step by step with the apostle? Can we go with him in anything that he here expresses? You see what Christ has made to him? Is Christ made that to us? Is he indeed the object of our first desire? Is there a willingness to count all things else but dung, that we may win Christ and be found in him? Do these words express the very longings of our souls, that we may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him? If we can go with the apostle in these desires of his, these exercises of his soul towards Christ, then it is well with us. The Lord has done that for our souls, which he never does, except in those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and are predestined to eternal blessedness in Christ. I remember many years ago, it was in the summer of 1909, I had a feeling take possession of my heart and could not put it away. Although I was exercised about it as to whether it was right, but I could not put it away. And the feeling was that the Lord had done for me that which he never does except for those whom Christ has redeemed. The hymn writer says of such things that they bear tokens of a ransomed soul. And that thought was attended with such peace in my heart, although I felt I was still a sinner, and a great sinner, and even questioned whether it was right for me to entertain such peace in my heart. But I could not put it away. There it would be. Oh, what a mercy it is if the Lord has indeed taken a dealing with us, and if the Lord has so dealt with us that our desires are toward Christ, that our great concern is to possess Christ and be possessed of him, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, contemning that as a worthless thing, as filthy rags, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Not that I may know about him, but that I may know him. The apostle desired a real living acquaintance with the Christ of God, that I may know him by his being revealed to my heart by the Holy Spirit, that I may know him as the Son of God, the eternal begotten Son of the Father, that I may know him as made man for the sake of sinners, that I may know him as having loved me and given himself for me, that I may know him as risen from the dead and ever living to make intercession for transgressors, that I may know him. Oh, what a great thing it is to know Christ in the power and efficacy of his atoning death, in the virtue of his blood. to know him as my Lord and my Saviour. You cannot divide these two titles. They always go together. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is expressed frequently in the Scriptures. Our Lord and Saviour. I was reading recently some report of the Keswick Convention. I do not know whether I have mentioned it before to you, but the speaker spoke of Christ as a Saviour and Christ as a Lord, as though he could be received as a Saviour and not received as a Lord, as though people could be trusting Christ as their Saviour and not following him and seeking to obey him as their Lord. Well, I cannot admit such a distinction. If Christ is revealed, if he is known as my Saviour, that revelation will have a heart-winning effect. He will be so altogether lovely in my eyes. If I see him and know him as my Saviour, then nothing will content me but for him to be my Lord, for him to reign in me and over me. Other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Well, it is a wonderful thing to know him as our Saviour, saving us from our sins, from sin's guilt and power, saving us from the curse of the law, from death and from hell, from all the power of the enemy, redeeming us to God and ruling us by his well-known laws of love and righteousness, ruling us by his own sweet love shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, to know Christ thus, to have repeated discoveries of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've had a glimpse of Christ, you will want to know more of him. If you've had a distant view of him, you will want to have a nearer view of him. If Christ has had gracious dealings with you, has given you to feel the drawing power of his grace and his love, it will lead you to say, Lord, make the union closer yet, and let the marriage be complete. Nothing short of that will satisfy fully all the desires of your heart. That I may know him, and he is to be known in a way of communion and fellowship. A wonderful thing it is to be drawn to Christ in a way of communion, and this you experience as you are caused to draw near to him with your confessions, with your complaints. There is communion with Christ, although the communications are of a sad sort, yet it is communion with him. I tell him all my griefs and pains, says the poet, and he reveals his love to me. Oh, it is good to go before him as a sinner, confessing your sins, telling him how your sins abound and how your heart is pained, what sorrows you feel on account of the workings of indwelling sin and on account of the temptations wherewith your soul is assailed by the devil, and also to tell the Lord the pain his absence causes you. 'Tis paradise if thou art here, if thou depart, 'tis hell. Well, when poor people go before the Lord in secret and tell him such things as these, that is communion. That is having intercourse with Christ. And then the Lord leads his people a little higher. You remember that in the temple, there were round about the temple three rows of chambers, three rows one above another. The second chamber was reached by means of a winding stair, winding still upward. And then the topmost chamber again was reached by a second winding stair, winding still upward. And all that is very suggestive. Now I have just spoken of the lowest chamber of communion. And the Lord leads his people, as it were, by winding stairs. If you have ever gone up a winding stair, you have found yourself unable to see far in front of you, not more than a step or two at most in front of you. And usually it is too dark to see that. And so the Lord leads his people in a similar way, winding still upward. But he allures them into chambers of communion more sweet and more intimate. Still, when he enables them, as we have been singing in response to his kind invitation, to say, "Lo, glad I come, and thou blessed Lamb shall take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive." Oh, it is wonderfully sweet to have been able to speak thus to Christ and to know him in that chamber of sweet communion, venturing upon him, coming to him, sitting at his feet and confiding in him. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. All in all, in thee I find. Oh, do you covet thus to know him? Do you covet to be assured by his own gracious lips that he has redeemed you, that you are his? And he does assure poor people of that. There is such a thing as for Christ to give a poor, unworthy soul that sweet assurance of his love and favour, to say to that soul, "I shed my blood for thee, I wrought the righteousness for thee, I am thy Redeemer, thou art mine." That I may know him, oh, there is a rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And as Christ makes himself known as the foundation of a sinner's hope, gives that sinner to feel the ground good beneath his feet, then there is a looking forward. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." There is a looking forward, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Well then, there is something more in this communion. The Apostle speaks not only of rejoicing in hope of the glory of God, but rejoicing in tribulations also. I think this is a higher chamber still, to be enabled to rejoice in tribulations also. We have been reading how the Apostle was led by his blessed Lord in respect of the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, and how he besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then the Apostle can respond and say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He glorified in infirmities. One said, "Glory to thee for strength withheld, for want and weakness known, for fear that drives me to himself, for what is most my own." I have thought sometimes of one poor afflicted woman who, in the midst of most distressing afflictions, lying in helplessness, blind and deaf, unable to lift either hand or foot or even her head, yet was able, while still having the use of her hands, which ultimately she lost, to write on a slate, "I think I just begin to see the splendour of God's will." Wonderful attainment that. It may seem to some impossible, and you may think it is not possible for you to be brought there, but his grace is sufficient. He brought the Apostle to that frame of mind. He brought that poor woman into that frame of mind, into such sweet reconciliation with the wisdom of God and the purpose of God in her affliction, that she could just begin to see the splendour of the will of God. And another, dying of cancer, could say, O sweet, beloved will of God, O that I may know him in these chambers of communion. With me, sweet converse, he maintains, great as he is, I dare be free. I tell him all my griefs and pains, and he reveals his love to me. Oh, do you covet it? You may have to say, 'Tis of thee I little know, and ah, still less enjoy. It may be that all of us here, including the speaker, have to say, it is but little, very, very little at most, that we know of these things. Yet can we from our hearts adopt the language of the apostle and say, that I may know him, that I may know him, that he would cause me to know the bliss of his own. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. That I may know him, and this knowledge of Christ is communicated to his people as they are led in the path of tribulation. We must not learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their task. It is in the path of tribulation, and you find those who are brought into closest acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ are among the most afflicted of his people, and especially those who suffer for his sake, whose suffering is not from ordinary afflictions, but from persecution for Christ's sake. As Rutherford said in one of his letters, he would gladly have the leavings of the byboard of a sufferer's table. He saw those who suffered for Christ's sake to be so favoured of the Lord. The Lord did lift upon them the light of his countenance and filled their hearts with joy unspeakable and full of glory in the midst of their sufferings. That I may know him, said the apostle, and the power of his resurrection, the power of his resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he lives in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He said to his disciples, because I live, ye shall live also. It is because he lives in a mediatorial life in heaven that word is written in the second chapter of the Ephesians. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. It is the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus, the life of the risen Saviour, that is made manifest in the quickening of sinners from a death in trespasses and sins, the power of his resurrection. Then, when a poor soul awakened to see the depths of his fall, made to feel and groan under the burden of sin and guilt, gets a little help under these burdens, a little building of hope in Jesus as mediator, is brought into that guilt-burdened heart that brings for a few moments a little relief, a little hope. Who can tell? Who can tell if even I may obtain mercy, since there is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared, since Jesus is a Saviour, since he came to seek and to save that which was lost? Oh, it is wonderful when a poor sinner loses his dejection, is enabled to entertain such thoughts as these and such hopes of mercy as these. And the power of his resurrection. Then, when a poor soul gets a measure of gospel deliverance, it is the same power of Christ's resurrection. When one can say, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. 'Tis the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. It is because Jesus lives at the right hand of the Father, and he is the life of all that believe. The apostle says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Christ, who is our life, he is the life of his people. In themselves they find sin and death and hell, but in Christ is life and life everlasting. The power of his resurrection. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to get a sight by faith of that crucified, risen Redeemer, to be enabled in looking upon him as suffering, bleeding, dying, agonizing under the awful weight of the church's guilt, to feel that he atoned for my dreadful debt of guilt. One said, thou hast in better blood been paid when all my dreadful debt of guilt was on my suffering Saviour laid. Oh, to get such a view of Christ as that is wonderful. As the apostle said, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, John says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It is the resurrection power of Christ that raises a poor soul from the dust and from the dunghill, and sets his feet upon this blessed rock, and enables him to praise redeeming love, gives him to know something of the mystery of which the apostle speaks when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And when poor people are under temptation, when it seems as if they cannot stand, no, not another day, when they fear they will be completely swept off their feet by the flood which comes against them, what is it that delivers them? What is it that keeps their head above water? I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. It is the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I live, ye shall live also. Because he lives and reigns victorious, so his people through him shall get the victory over all their foes and deliverance from their temptations. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The power of his resurrection. What is it that supports a poor child of God under heavy weights of trial and affliction? You know how heavily afflicted some are, what seas of affliction some have to wade through. Affliction of body, affliction in their circumstances, affliction in their family, things that make the heart ache to hear of them. What is it that supports them? A dear friend many years ago had a grievous trouble and sorrow in the illness and death of his first wife. He had a very hard time of it, working all day, in the evening doing the housework and attending upon his wife, often giving attention in the night to the sick one. At last she died, and one of his workmates, an ungodly man, went to him and said, I know what brought you through. That religion that you have got and I haven't. That God that you know and I don't. That God who is your God and not mine. That is what has brought you through. There was the testimony of an ungodly man, and it was true, the power of his resurrection. Although the man had weights upon him enough to crush him, yet God supported him and gave him to know what grace can do. The power of his resurrection, so the Lord supports his people. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Fear thou not, says the Lord, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The power of his resurrection. It is this that sustained the church through all ages, when again and again persecution has raged against her. When the forces of evil in some countries have been brought to bear against her, yet the church has lived through it all. God has still his remnant in the earth, a remnant of humble souls who love his name and witness for his truth. What is it that supports the church when the enemy is seeking her destruction all the time? The power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Here is another thing the apostle desired to be acquainted with. The fellowship of his sufferings. He told the people of God in one of his letters, "Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And he counted it a privilege to be allowed to suffer for Christ's sake. He with others counted it all joy that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, because it is in these afflictions, persecutions and temptations that his people are brought into fellowship with him." The fellowship of his sufferings. I have been struck by that which we read in the 12th chapter of the second book of Corinthians, where the apostle speaks of the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan that buffeted him. And he besought the Lord three times that it might depart from him, and yet it did not depart. One of the painful mysteries that the people of God are faced with is the mystery of their unanswered or seemingly unanswered prayers. The Lord does answer his people's prayers, and as being well pointed out, sometimes the answer is no. But the answer is always far above all they ask or think. He does better for them than they ask. Sometimes he does better for them than they ask in going quite contrary to what they ask. But the apostle besought the Lord thrice. Now you remember the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane three times besought his Father that if it were possible the cup might pass from him. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Three times he thus besought his Father, but he had to drink the cup. He resigned himself unreservedly unto his Father's will. Fellowship with his sufferings. A wonderful and a great deep is this. It is but little we know of it. But it will be our mercy if we are made in some measure and degree partakers of it. The fellowship of his sufferings. To suffer for his sake. To suffer in fellowship with him. He suffered for sins not his own, and it is given to his people to suffer for sin, to suffer in their consciences, to suffer in their hearts, to be grievously pained on account of their sins, and in this suffering for sin they have fellowship with their suffering Redeemer. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, said the apostle, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There is conformity to his death. Believers, like their Lord, must die. To every vain and godless thing, all wisdom rooted not in thee, my soul must die, O Christ my King, that thou mayest all my wisdom be. So believers like their Lord must die, the dying Saviour led the way. Dying they live, O mystery, renewed in spirit day by day. Being made conformable unto his death, for me, said the apostle, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And how do believers live? My old pastor used to say, the people of God live by being killed. If I remember right, that was his interpretation of those words in Isaiah 38, where Hezekiah said, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. By what things? By these killing things. The apostle says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. So his people have to die to self. They have to die to the world, die to their own wisdom, their own righteousness, their own strength, their own ideas of self-importance. They have to die to everything of self and the world, and in thus dying, 'tis a painful business. It is not an easy thing, it is a suffering, but in thus dying they live. He that loseth his life shall find it, and so it is through this gate of holy death we pass by faith to endless life, as the hymn writer has it. Being made conformable unto his death. Oh, here the people of God are brought into fellowship with Christ, as they are brought into conformity with his death, willing to be crucified with him, willing to be nothing at his feet, willing for him to be all and in all. Gladly they sink to nothing there before the eternal all. Well, the Lord grant that we may be brought to know something of this mystery. We know very little about it, and I've said very little about it this evening, and what I have said has been spoken very feebly, but may the Lord lead us into his truth as only he can, and make it a rich blessing to our souls, for his name's sake. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £720, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 343. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, whose goodness endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our frames may decline, we cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. Hymn 343.
I may know you. Lord, impress a round meditation upon me. May we not forget you. Lord, we pray that thou bless the services today. Oh, the hymns we have sung. Lord, thank me for enabling thy servant to speak to you. Lord, we do thank thee for bringing them here amongst us for these meetings. Oh, do go on to be gracious to him. Lord, do bless him. Raise him up again. Oh, and may he be spared to come amongst us again to fight. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou be with us. Oh, thank thee for another Sabbath. Lord, do be with us now as we have the week that comes. Oh, do wonders. Grant health and strength, journey with us. Be with each one. Lord, we do pray that thou come up thy servant in the day. Give him that to bring with us. Bless him, Lord, and may it be with him. In mercy, look upon our country. Our Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, I think and be silent. Lord, God of us, have mercy on us. Lord, do undertake. Oh, thou art in control. Thy will be done. Be there really with us. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.